Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch body plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on Sticks In, it is Positive Friday. We have a weekend preview. We will go through the entire college slate. Before we get into the weekend games, we'll talk through what happened in the college world during the week. We had some big midweek results, and we'll look at the NLL a little bit ahead of this weekend too, since the playoffs are right around the corner and the March to May is very much here. Thank you again for coming back and listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, leave a like, download, subscribe, share it with people. I appreciate that as always. Let's do it. Welcome back to Sticks In. My name is Dan Arestia. I am glad you're here. It's a positive Friday. So much lacrosse is coming up. There is so much lacrosse. But before we get into lacrosse, a very cool thing happened in the basketball world last night, or I guess Wednesday night if you're listening to this on Friday. Wednesday night, Pat Spencer recorded his first NBA bucket with a dunk in the closing seconds of the Warriors-Grizzlies game. If you're like me on East Coast time, this happened at about 1 in the morning, so you might have missed it live, but I was obviously eager to share the video of him doing it early on Thursday morning, and you know, the lacrosse world obviously was excited about it. Basketball world was excited about it too. I do believe Chris Paul gave him the game ball for it when the game was over. The bench, as the Warriors shared video, was pretty hyped for Pat to get his first NBA bucket. I talked a little bit about this when Pat Spencer first got his NBA minutes. I think it was a couple weeks ago at this point. He got into an NBA game for the first time. Did not score, but got into an NBA game against the Nuggets. I think it's worth saying again, because I mean, I might have levitated off the couch when Spencer got that dunk and got NBA points. Just take a few minutes and really try to appreciate what it takes to make an NBA team. There are thousands, maybe millions of people who train their entire lives just in basketball to try and be a pro, to try and be in the league. Some don't even make it to playing in college. Some get to small colleges. Maybe they end up playing a little bit in college and that's the end. Some guys, they really, really, you know, go nuts in college, guys who are all Americans, whatever, and they end up playing overseas for a little while. You don't really hear from them much anymore. You know, it's March Madness time. You'll find these heroes of the tournament. They'll go play, you know, they're playing in Europe or in other parts of the world, or college is just the end. So few guys make it to the league. So few guys make it to the NBA. There's 15 players on the roster in an NBA season. 13 guys dress for an NBA game. 13. There are 30 teams. Do the math. Just rostered. That's 450 rostered players at any given time in the entire league. You're trying to join a club that small. That's how many few guys play in the NBA. Pat Spencer spent college while all these other guys are working their butt off playing basketball just to try and get a whiff of the league. Pat Spencer spent that time being one of the greatest lacrosse players of all time. During those major evaluation and formative years of basketball for anyone trying to make the NBA, Pat Spencer was racking up assists on a lacrosse field, winning a Tewaritin. spends a grad year at Northwestern. The winding road starts from there. He plays, you know, in Germany. He plays for Capital City Go-Go, the Wizards G League team. He gets the invite from the Warriors. And now, I mean, and now here we are. It reaches last night. He gets points in an NBA game. I can't even like comprehend the odds defying that is involved there. Who knows where it leads? You know, who knows how many more opportunities he gets, but at this point, he has scored NBA points, and there is very, very few people ever who have done that. It is a remarkable athletic achievement. Basketball at the pro level, for my money, is the hardest sport in the world to break into. There are so few spots. The skill set is so rare. It's so hard to just be athletic enough before you even get into training to be good at it, to just have the God-given athletic ability to be considered for the NBA is so rare. Spencer taking those years to dominate at a different sport and then making the NBA anyway is such a remarkable feat. So I every time now I see him kind of make it onto the floor in an NBA game, I'm going to kind of think about that. And again, just think of like, you know, statistically, it's basically a miracle that he is on the floor in an NBA game scoring points. It's incredible. It really is incredible. So all the best to Pat and the best to him to continue that NBA career. Get a couple more buckets. He's got about 40,000 change points to go to catch LeBron. Before we get to back to the lacrosse world here a little bit, before we get to the college lacrosse world anyway, there's some NLL action this weekend. As I kind of have been ramping up a little bit on the pod, but the March to May is here in the Indoor Pro League. The March to May is kind of what they call this race, this last 4 weeks or so of the regular season. This is week 17. I don't know where week 1 to 16 went, but this is week 17. Teams have between, you know, the fewest amount of games a team left. I think Georgia has 3, and Saskatchewan, I think, still has like 6 or 7 or something like that, because they have a makeup game and they just have a backloaded schedule. But teams are kind of getting down to it and playing for seeding and playing for a playoff spot. And the race has been really, really good. It is very tight in the middle of the standings where the playoff line gets drawn. So it's an exciting time to be around it for sure. Every week now it's like, okay, the scenarios change. If you're into like the prognosticating, shout out to Crapero and NLLstats.com, but they have the what if machine basically, where you can pick the result of every game that's left on the schedule and see what happens in the standings and go all the way through for the rest of the regular season and try and, you know, manipulate the playoff standings and see what's possible. Obviously, there's a whole lot of permutations with this many teams and, you know, this many games left. So there's a few games. I'm not going to give you the whole slate, but there are, I think there's 3 games really where if you're just kind of tangential or you're wondering maybe which one should I pick to watch this weekend that I would kind of hone in on. The first one is Halifax and Toronto. This is Saturday night. In terms of playoff implication, there's actually not a ton here. Toronto is basically playing for the 1 seed. They have the best record in the league. A win is obviously going to keep them in that spot. Halifax is playing to stay near the top of the playoff picture. I think they're trying to, you know, they're playing to maybe host a playoff game. For them, I think hosting a playoff game is big. That environment in Halifax, I think they had their biggest crowd ever this week. I might be wrong about biggest crowd ever. Certainly the biggest of the season. I believe they sold out the lower bowl, Halifax did this past weekend. So it's become a very difficult place to play there, the Bird's Nest or whatever they call it. And Halifax is playing at this point to have a playoff game there. The first game between these two teams was great. I think it was a 2-goal game. It was a slugfest. It was like one of those mid-low scoring rock fight kind of games. Halifax has 4 games left. This is by far their toughest opponent. So a win here goes a long way for them. And Toronto, obviously, they want to keep that 1 seed. They've got Albany and San Diego kind of nipping at their heels, so they really cannot take their foot off the gas. So that, I think, will be a good one. In terms of the caliber of the teams playing, that's the best game of the week. Those are the 2 best teams playing each other this week. Next game I would tell you to tune into is Saskatchewan and New York. This one kind of has loser leaves town vibes. I'm going to try and get out there for this one. It's on Long Island. It's Boomer Esiason Foundation night, so they'll have specialty jerseys and auctions and all kinds of stuff to benefit the Boomer Esiason Foundation and CF Research, which, you know, it's such a good cause. So it's a great charity. Boomer does an awesome job. So it'll be a good one for that reason. But in terms of just the actual competition, New York right now is 6-8. A loss to them drops them to 6-9, and that would put them basically on life support for the playoffs for the season. They've got four games left. They have been cold. They got red hot in January, February, won four straight against a really tough schedule, had an unbelievable comeback win against San Diego. Things were really trending up, and now kind of they've come back down to earth a little bit. If the playoffs are going to be a reality for the Riptide, this is a game I think they need to have. This one at home is one they need to have. The Rush have two games this weekend. They have this game on Saturday, and then they have another game late afternoon on Sunday in Georgia. So they've got a tough schedule. And then they have one midweek. I believe it's Thursday. You might have to check me on that, but I believe it's Thursday where they are making up a game that got postponed due to weather from January with Philly. So they got the doubleheader this weekend, a midweek game, and then they have a doubleheader April 5th and 6th, and like they're just jamming games in down the stretch. Saskatchewan's sitting at 5-6. They've played 11 games. Everyone else has played like 14 or 15, so they've got makeup work to do, and now's when they're doing it. It's going to be a tough stretch for them, and because it's so tough, you want to see them, you know, you're probably thinking as you get to the end of that regular season, they are going to be roughed up. They're going to be fatigued. They're going to be tired. Those last couple games might be rough. So if you're Saskatchewan, you want to start this tough stretch with wins if you're thinking playoffs. You want to try and get these wins early so that if you're kind of low on gas down the stretch, you're not necessarily, you know, battling for your playoff life, or at least you know what the outcome kind of is. So again, maybe kind of loser leaves town vibes in this one, where a loser might have a tough time making the playoffs. But this will be a good one. I think Saskatchewan, New York is one to watch for sure. Last one I would say to watch, Albany and Calgary. This one is in Calgary. The Roughnecks started the season pretty cold. They got hot. They got back to 500. And now they have cooled off again. Kind of riptide-ish there. But they are currently sitting at 5-8. And they've lost three straight. So them, like New York, you feel like the next loss might be the one that sinks the ship. But Jesse King has been unreal this season. You know, Calgary has got to be kind of in playoff mode here. So this is when you lean on guys like a Jesse King, like Del Bianco in net. You know, this is when you need those leaders, your Zach Couriers, to really be the guys who take games over for you. It's a rough schedule left for them. Albany is in a place where they are trying to basically chase down Toronto. Albany's got 10 wins already. They're kind of playing with house money because of just how magical the season has been, for lack of a better word. They made the move for some defensive help with Wagner at the deadline. I think that's the kind of thing you do if you're going for it. And if you're going for it, you're trying to run down the one seed. So I think Albany could, you know, again, 10 wins, their next one basically locks up a playoff spot. But I think they're eager to do that. And I would imagine they want to, you know, be hosting games. So those three games are the ones I think I'm most excited to watch. There's other good games too. Obviously, San Diego's in action, who's always worth watching. You know, Georgia is trying to lock up their spot. I have picks, I have info, everything you need to watch, whatever game you want to watch on the Sticks and site. The weekend primer is going to be there right now. So all the eight games of the weekend are broken down with how to watch them, the spreads, the picks, the whole shebang, all that stuff. NLL playoff time rules. This last, like this, it's really like the NFL push for the playoffs down the stretch, where every weekend you have to be dialed into every game. And I hope we get the old in the hunt graphic coming at some point here, but NLL playoffs this weekend, you should absolutely tune in for some Box Lacrosse if you are even just casually interested. Now's a good time to get yourself ramped up heading for the playoffs. College games from the week. There were several, but there's, I think, a few worth really shouting out. UVA beat Albany 16-10. Pretty good game. Basically, Albany was fighting at a massive third quarter from Virginia, kind of did them in. The Danes led 3-1 after the first, and the game was tied at halftime. They got really good goalie play from Whitney, who I believe is a freshman, and like that just speaks volumes for him to go on the road against that offense, stand that tall and make those plays. I think, you know, obviously you have to be super impressed with that. Jake Pacino looks like a guy right now who will not make it out of the first round of the PLL draft. He had 2 goals, 4 ground balls, 3 caused turnovers, including a pretty gorgeous and clean strip of Connor Schellenberger. there just aren't guys who put stat lines like that together. It really is, it is Joel White kind of stuff. I think Coach Starja, Dom Starja, was on Twitter saying it was the best performance he'd seen from a defensive player, and he's seen a few from some really good defensive players. So I think, obviously, that star could not be rising any faster right now. Silas Richmond also seeing his star rise. I was high on Silas Richmond coming into the year. I thought he would, you know, maybe have kind of a breakout season, and he's been okay for most of the year, but he had 7 goals in this game. He had a first quarter hat trick. He's still an underclassman. I think he is very much a fun player to watch and somebody to keep an eye on up there at Albany. For UVA, the story of this game is Schellenberger. He sets the UVA career points record. In the second quarter, he did a nice little right-to-left split from up top, scored a goal in the middle of the field. He passed Matt Moore for the honor of number one all-time at UVA. He passed, I think it was Stanwyck. I have to go back and see who he passed to become UVA's all-time assist leader this year as well. On the points chart, he passed Moore. Steele Stanwyck was second. Doug Knight there at third. The 279th point, or I think it's 8th point. 278th. I think I tweeted 79th and I was wrong. Matt Moore, I believe, had 277. So 278 is the record breaker. He did it in 56 games, which is faster than any of the previous top three guys. And now he'll spend the rest of this year creating a gap between himself and everybody else in the UVA record book. How big that gap is at the end of the year will be a testament basically to how good he has been in his time at UVA. And I think if you think back, you got to remember, he's number one recruit out of high school. And the story with him was he gets to UVA and redshirts. And everyone, like, the number one recruit in the country is redshirting. Number one, UVA was loaded. Their offense was so stacked. And, you know, it was like, where's he going to play? What's he going to do? But obviously, you know, you see what he can do. There would have been a spot for him. So him redshirting was a very kind of a big deal when that happened. He just wasn't going to play. COVID ended up, I think, wrecking the year anyway after about 6 games, but he had obviously announced well before then that he wasn't going to play in year one, just redshirt and learn. And that kind of it just didn't happen with recruits like that in lacrosse. I mean, he clearly benefited. He learned year two, his first year really playing. He leads the team in points. He's just been a kind of a mature and a capable player as a leader there for his entire career, ever since he started playing. So congrats to him for becoming the all-time points leader at UVA, a program that's had some special all-time Hall of Fame players. To pass them is obviously makes him pretty unique. So congrats to Connor Schellenberger. The next game we kind of have from the week, St. Joe's, they win their 4th straight. They upset Penn, playing the role of the hunter on the Tuesday. Carter Page, Torin Eccleston hat tricks, Levi Anderson 2 goals. I thought Tommy Gross played his best game of the year in net. He made 16 stops for St. Joe's. Gavin Tai, huge down the stretch. He won, you know, I don't know the stats off the top of my head in terms of the stats for the games at the faceoff spot, but it felt like every big one, and particularly in the 4th quarter, it just felt like they were going Tai's way. Like when he needed one, he was getting one. So I thought he had a clutch game at the faceoff spot. The anatomy of an upset always is going to include quality faceoff play and quality goalie play. Those are must-haves if you are going to upset a heavyweight team. And the Hawks got plenty of it. I am not naive to the fact that I am perpetually the guy who is way too high on St. Joe's. I very proudly wear that crown. But I just look at this team and I see multiple pros. I see indoor and outdoor pros. Anderson is a pro. Levi Virch is a pro. Torin Eccleston is a pro, indoors for sure, outdoors could be. If you have that many players of that caliber, like, you can just beat good teams. You just have the talent to do it. You got to put it together. So the Hawks go to 4-3. I think they're ready to make some noise in the A-10. Penn goes to 5-3, now into Ivy play. They have the Duke win, which is awesome. Their wins against Delaware and Villanova really aren't bad. Losses to Georgetown and UNC, not bad. You know, Mike Murphy's always got a great schedule for them. Always. So I think they're a team that's basically being, you know, not carried, but they're defined, I think, by their defense right now. Emmett Carroll is outstanding. He really is being, I think he's been in the conversation for the best goalie in America this year. Lavelle is special. He's a really, really good defenseman. They have gone under in every single game. Not that that really means anything, but I'm just saying they have yet to hit the over in a game. Outside of the Duke game, they haven't cracked 11 goals, I don't think. So they spread the rock on offense. They're 18th in adjusted efficiency on offense. It's not bad, you know, but it's tough to win games consistently if you're usually putting up 10, 11, that ballpark. In today's day and age, you kind of just got to score a little better than that. So the Penn offense, I think, you know, we all knew it would be a little bit of a work in progress for a while with, you know, life after Sam Hanley. But, you know, I think at this point in the year, particularly going into Ivy play now, you need that offense to pick it up because you're going to have to deal with Cornell and Yale who are going to score goals. They're going to put up, even against good defenses, they're going to score 13-14. Like, that's just how they are. So, Ivy play is obviously going to be big, as we've said, kind of on other pods. The winner of the regular season hosts the tournament this year. It's not at Columbia, not neutral site or anything like that. You win the regular season, you get to host the tournament. And home Ivy tournament, I'm sure, sounds real nice to everybody in this conference because it's dogfight. So Ivy play this weekend will be a big one. Finally, the game that we all saw and marveled at up at the Dome. Syracuse 10, Duke 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't think I've seen a Syracuse defense play that well in years. I don't know if I can remember a performance from a Cuse defense that dominant in the last 10 years. I mean, I'm sure maybe there's been one, but off the top of my head, I couldn't remember it as I was watching the game. By the fourth quarter, Duke's offense looked tired. They looked frustrated. They looked beaten down. They look dejected. It just does not happen to Duke. That does not happen to them. Duke's starting attack of Brennan O'Neill, Dyson Williams, Jasawada combined 2 goals, 1 assist on 19 shots. They combined for more turnovers than points. Dyson held to zeros. No goals, no assists. Third time in his career that's happened. Third time in 69 games. It's like, it just does not happen to Duke. And Cuse, they have the talent, but their defense has had games this year where you say, like, all right, you know, maybe if the defense doesn't play well, then you can beat this team. And, you know, they've had some moments where you look like, some of this personnel might be a little shaky. It did not look like that on Wednesday. Will Mark was brilliant in net, 14 saves. I believe he had 10 in the first half, over 80% net at halftime. You know, you watch him play. I think Coach Joe Spolina was talking about how that he looks as PLL ready as anybody. And he certainly looked like a PLL goalie in that game. I believe Tom Mariano said he's going to draw Drew Adams comps. And that's high praise, man. That's high praise. So he was outstanding. It was a quiet day for Joey Spolina. But I think this game is actually a good example of why the Joey doesn't put up stats against big team stuff is bullshit. Because if you watched this game, you know, if you went and looked at the box score, you'd be like, oh, Joey didn't do anything against Duke. If you watched the game, you saw that the rest of that offense was absolutely cooking. Luke Roa, Owen Hiltz, Jake Stevens, Michael Leo, they all looked awesome. Kristen Mulay getting short-sticked. Obviously, they're going to be going to him to dodge when that happens. It would be silly, and it would be honestly just bad lacrosse for Spolina to say, you guys are all on one, but give me the ball, clear out. Good players know when the offensive flow is in rhythm, when it's hitting, and they don't disrupt it in the interest of their own production. Effectively, Spolina basically just picked his spots to dodge on Kenny Brower. Kenny Brower also, I thought, played really well, but really was just letting the other five guys do the damage. Like, all right, I'll eat the Brower matchup. I'll come at him every once in a while. We'll kind of poke at him. We'll prod a little bit. But right now, like, the other guys got this. They're winning. Why am I going to disrupt them? So it's hard to find a place where Cuse could do wrong in the Dome on Wednesday. I thought the way they looked, that was a championship weekend team for Syracuse on the field on Wednesday night, for sure. That's a hard team to beat, man. If they play like that, that's a hard team to beat. That's the midweek games. Let's get ready for the weekend. Let's get ready for some weekend action. It's conference tournament, not conference tournament, but conference competition time. Teams are out of chances now to make a non-con impression. Time to position yourselves for some conference tournament action. Try and get yourself. I mean, it's eyes on the postseason starting now. If you're asking me, but We'll start with the Friday games, the ones going on today. First, Brown and UMass. Brown is a two-goal underdog in this one. Brown is winless, man. It just feels weird to say. April is around the corner and Brown is winless? Bruno, what's happening? They have covered in each of their last three games, but their offense, I think, has just been inconsistent, if I'm being polite, and kind of mediocre, if we're trying to just be honest. Matt Note is not a welcome sight for offenses that struggle like that or that can't be consistent. I think Bruno's going to fight. I think they always do, but I am going to take UMass. I'm going to take UMass minus two in this one. And Bruno, sorry. BU and Army is the other game today on Friday. Army is a 4.5 goal favorite. I talked through this game a little bit with the College Lacrosse Game Day podcast. You guys should check that out too if you haven't yet. College Lacrosse Game Day, I think they're on Spotify, but you can find them on socials too. I think I plugged them on my socials. If you don't know where to look, you can find there. But I think they're Lacrosse Game Day on Twitter and College Lacrosse Game Day on Insta. But you can check them out. They were nice enough to have me on to talk through some games this week. This was one of them. I'll kind of give you my thoughts that I gave them, the same thing here. But I think when you're playing BU and you're trying to win, two things need to happen. You need to win faceoffs and you need to land at least one really big haymaker. Bryant did that. They played a rougher, more physical game and landed those punches. Navy landed a big haymaker against them in the second half. They blitzed them with like five straight goals. I look at Army's roster and I see a roster that can do both those things. Will Coletti could win the faceoff battle. And Army obviously has no problem playing the physical, gritty kind of game. I do like BU's depth on offense. I like their versatility. I like their ability to say it could be D'Alto, it could be Perfetto, it could be from the midfield, it could be a bunch of different guys. The question, I think, is how their defense holds up against Army's offense. Pat Morrison will erase somebody, but erasing one guy is not enough to slow down Army. If you take Burek away, it's still Plunkett, still Eicher. There's too many good weapons out there for Army. I think this is an interesting matchup. I'm going to take BU plus the 4.5 and look for a little bit of Patriot League March Madness here. Looking now towards Saturday. Only a couple games here on Friday, but Saturday's obviously got a bunch of good ones. First up, Canisius and Manhattan. Manhattan is, I think, 1.5, minus 1.5. I think it's serious plus money, though. Canisius is a money line favorite, slight money line favorite. Canisius lost four straight. They've covered just once in that span. The shine is off the diamond with them for me a little bit right now, but they did, however, go over for the first time last week. They had not gone over yet this year. Manhattan has just one win this year. It's against the Mount. Manhattan's kind of having a tough... You knew it was going to be an adjustment year for the Jaspers with Odierna going to Syracuse. They graduate Persico and net. You knew it was going to kind of be an adjustment. I think you're kind of seeing it. 30, you know, it's kind of a rebuild year for Manhattan. Canisius is getting goals here at trash value, but I'm going to take them. I'm going to take Canisius. Recent form be damned. Give me the Griffins. Queens and Bellarmine. Queens beat Lindenwood midweek. Bellarmine ran away from Mercer midweek. Queens has covered in their last four available games, I think. I think Bellarmine's going to do some scoring in this one. They've won four of their last five. The lone loss is that won by a goal to Utah, in which they were up 9-2 and lost. But I think they tend to take care of games where they're a solid favorite, where you would expect them to. And this is one where you would expect them to take care of business. So I'm going to take Bellarmine. The line is huge. But I'm going to take Bellarmine to cover 9.5 goals against Queens. Cleveland State, Bobby Moe. Robert Morris is a two-goal favorite here. They needed a bit of a comeback and overtime to beat Detroit Mercy, to beat winless Detroit Mercy midweek. Cleveland State has won three straight. This will be their toughest opponent in a while, though, the Cleveland States. There is something to be said, though, I think, for stringing together wins, particularly in close games. We've got to kind of hold on to a lead later, gut it out. So I'm going to take the Vikings plus two here to have a good battle with Bobby Moe. Cornell and Yale. I believe it's 1.5 goal line right now. This is one of my three favorite games for the week. It's got a 29 over under. I mean, maybe we see 40 goals in this game. Who knows? But this is one of my three favorites of the week. Defense will be sold separately. You can read more about what I like about this game so much over at sticksinlacrosse.com. Dartmouth and Penn. Penn is a 7-goal favorite in this game. They're coming off that upset loss midweek to St. Joe's. We already talked about that a little bit. Dartmouth lost midweek as well. Dartmouth played on Tuesday against Georgetown and got rolled over pretty good. Penn has yet to hit the over this year, as we've said. The defense and net mining for them have been great. I think they win the game, but they do not cover a ton because they do not score a ton. I'm going to take the big green. I'm going to take Dartmouth to stay within 7 of Penn in this one. Delaware and Hofstra. Delaware is a 7.5 goal favorite. They lost to the Cues last week. Hofstra lost to Fairfield a week ago. Not a great. My Hofstra is actually a good take. It's worse every week right now. Delaware has lost 3 of 4. Their last win is Monmouth, so they're in a rough stretch. And it's CAA playtime now. It's conference playtime now. So Delaware needs to get things going in a positive direction if they want to get hot. They want to try and make some noise in the tournament. But this line is just a little bit too big for me, the 7.5. So I'm going to take Hofstra. I'm going to say Chase Patterson makes a difference. Harvard and Princeton. Princeton's -1.5 in this game at plus money. Harvard, off their first loss of the year to Yale last week, Harvard does a couple of things really well. They play extra man incredibly well. Their man up is really good. And they scrap their way back into games really well. Putting Harvard away has proven to be basically impossible. Bryant couldn't do it. Bucknell couldn't do it. Both those teams had chances to ice Harvard, couldn't do it. I think if that Yale game had 3 more minutes on the clock, I think Harvard wins it. They will fight to the last man, to the last second on that clock, and they're going to scrap. So I'm going to take the Crimson here. I'm going to take Harvard getting goals, and the Ivy standings are getting to be very important to watch. I don't know who's going to end up hosting this tournament. Mercer and Jacksonville. Mercer, as we said, lost to Bellarmine midweek. Jacksonville's coming off a win against Robert Morris last weekend. They did not have the midweek action, the midweek A-Sun action. Dolphins have won 3 straight. They've covered in 3 of their last 4. Their losses are Duke, Michigan, and the one ugly one, Marist and OT. The Finns are quietly lurking. They are -5.5 here. I'm going to be on Jacksonville to start heating up here in A-Sun play. Lafayette and Loyola. Kind of an intriguing one. I considered this for one of my 3 favorites. I didn't go with it, but this is an intriguing one for sure. Loyola's a 1.5 goal favorite. They have lost 3 straight. Last week they lost to BU. Lafayette beat Holy Cross pretty good a week ago. I think the Leopards are better than people might think, or better than people might realize. The Drexel win's pretty solid. The losses, Delaware, Army, and Colgate, not really bad losses there. I'm going to take Lafayette getting goals here to throw the Patriot League into complete disarray. So give me Lafayette. Plus the 1.5. Merrimack and UMBC. I think UMBC is the 2.5 goal favorite here. I got to go back and check. UMBC beat Bryant and OT a week ago, I think. It's a solid win for them, but I think their only other win is the Mount. The Mac is coming off an OT win over Binghamton. They beat Bucknell and Sacred Heart to start the year, but they had an ugly losing streak in there. It's tough to kind of know where to go here. I think I'm going to be on UMBC based on recent form. So give me the Retrievers. Stony Brook and Monmouth. Seawolves are a 6-goal favorite. They played UNC pretty tight a week ago. A solid showing. I think they played them 12-8. So they have been inconsistent this year, though. For their talent, they have been a little bit inconsistent for me. Monmouth played Villanova to a 1-goal game, man. Monmouth played Villanova to a 1-goal game. I think they're better than they get credit for. I think McRae is a really good player. I trust Stony Brook to win this game. But the line is just a little bit too big for me. So give me Monmouth to cover. Monmouth plus 6. The Mount and Wagner. Winless Mount St. Mary's is a 3.5 goal favorite over Wagner. Wagner has 1 win over Marist. If lacrosse had a sickos committee, this is the game they would watch. I'm going to take Wagner in the goals. Providence and St. Joe's. Hawks, a 3-goal favorite following that big midweek win over Penn that we talked about. Providence is coming off the OT win against Stony Brook. I believe they beat Stony Brook in OT last week. I think St. Joe's is just too hot to pick against right now. I think Gavin Tye is making a difference in this game. So give me Gavin Tye to play some make it take it and the Hawks to win by more than 3 goals. VMI and Sacred Heart. I have to go back and check the line. Somebody was kind enough to send the lines to me. Sacred Heart has won 4 of their last 5. They're a great team against the spread. The blip against Holy Cross really doesn't scare me. I'll have to check what the line is here. VMI is at home, but I mean, there would have to be a freakish line for me to not take Sacred Heart here. So give me the Pioneers. LeMoyne and St. John's. LeMoyne is a 3.5 goal favorite. Game's tight on the money line, too. LeMoyne got blown out by Horbart last week. The Johnnies lost to St. Joe's last week. I have been on LeMoyne telling you that they're talented, telling you that they're not really a bad team. I cannot stop now. I still liked them in this game anyway. Give me LeMoyne to cover the 3.5 against the Johnnies. That's a tough one to pick, though. Give me LeMoyne. NJIT in Binghamton. NJIT is a 1.5 goal favorite at plus money. You had me at Highlanders at plus money. NJIT. Fairfield and Towson. I ranked Towson this week. I think they're a damn good team. I put them at 20 this week. I'm planning to head over to Fairfield U. And if there is a sunny side of the field at Rafferty Stadium, sit there and watch this one with maybe with the family. That's only if the weather cooperates. The forecast may have it dumping rain all day. If it does not, I will be there. If it dumps rain, I will not be there. Towson beat Drexel a week ago. They're now 5-3. Their losses are UVA Hop and then the ugly one with Loyola and OT. I think the CAA looks winnable for Towson. Stags are trying to make the CAA tournament. They just missed it last year. They beat Hofstra a week ago, so a good start for them. I think this one could be fun. I think if the weather does suck, as the forecast says it will, that could be an equalizer here. If the Stags are a sizable underdog in this, I'm going to take Fairfield. I'm going to take Fairfield in a sloppy, bad weather, you know, the dumping rain keeps it close kind of game. Marist and Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac is just too hot to pick against. I'm going to take the Bobcats, even in the dark, because I try and find what the line is to stay unbeaten. The Bonnies and Marquette. Marquette is a 6.5 goal favorite here. Eagles have lost 5 straight. The schedule's been tough. The schedule has been very tough. They scheduled, you know, good teams, and it went how it went. 5 in a row is 5 in a row, though. The Bonnies got their first win of the season a week ago against Canisius. Marquette has lost 5 in a row. It will not be 6. Give me Marquette. I will take them to get things right and even cover the number. Give me the Eagles. Albany, Vermont. Albany, a 2-goal favorite here. They played UVA tight for a little while there midweek. I said, you know, as we said before, they had the third quarter that blew it open, but they played tight elsewhere in that game. Vermont comes in as America's least favorite team because they beat NJIT a week ago. This is a big one. This is a game, I think, that to me, this is going to tell me who is the America East team to beat. I think it's one of these two. I've liked the look of Albany for the last month. I really have. 2 straight wins before UVA. The 2 losses before that are UMass and Drexel by a goal, which are not bad. I am on Albany here. I'm going to take the Danes -2, but the faceoff could be a problem for Albany in this one. It'll be something to watch. Lindenwood Air Force. That's the good stuff, folks. Air Force beat Utah midweek. What? Air Force beat Utah midweek. Lindenwood lost to Queens. A-Sun conference play never disappoints because you get, you know, Terry Foy on Twitter called it A-Fun. It is the A-Fun at this time of year, man. It's the lacrosse version of Maction in college football. The Air Force winning 2 in a row. They've played St. Joe's close. They played Denver to a 2-goal game. Air Force going to do some damage here in the A-Sun. It just never disappoints. But 10 goals is a lot for an A-Sun game. I'm going to get brave and do it. I'm going to take the Falcons, but trusting them to win by 10 feels pretty horrible. But give me Air Force to cover 10 goals. Yeah, why not? Air Force covering 10 goals. Michigan, Maryland. Terps a 2.5 goal favorite on the road at the Wolverines. Michigan lost to Notre Dame big last week, Harvard the week before. It's now Big Ten play, and Michigan doesn't really have a big non-con win here. They beat Maryland twice last year, Michigan did, in the regular season, then again in the Big Ten title game, in College Park in the regular season. The Wolverines need to find that magic in a hurry here if they have aspirations towards making the NCAA tournament. I haven't loved the Terps this year. I've been a little down on them, probably more than most. This is a game I'd honestly stay away from, but I think this is a game where the Terps get some revenge. I'm sure they were not happy about how last year went. And I'm sure they want to make Michigan feel bad about it and remind them who really runs the Big Ten, who the real big boy program is. So I think Maryland comes out and plays with a vengeance in this one. I'm going to take the Terps minus the 2.5. UVA Drexel. UVA, as we said, beat Albany midweek. Schellenberger sets the points record. Drexel has lost three straight against a tough schedule. UVA is going to win the game. But look, man, the line is 11 goals. UVA never covers lines that big. They just don't. They didn't last year. They haven't this year. They're not covering in this game. I'll take Drexel. Give me Drexel and the 11 goals, and I'll say thank you. Dragons, folks. UNC and High Point. Carolina's a 5.5 goal favorite. They beat Stony Brook a week ago. They've won four straight. Panthers beat Hampton, I think, most recently, but they had lost three straight before that, so they're in kind of a tough spot. The long time off is difficult. I always wonder how teams kind of handle that. High Point's now had some time off here. I'm going to take Carolina as the team that's kind of in rhythm and got a good thing going. I've been high on Carolina. I need to keep going with it. So give me Carolina to cover the 5.5. Siena and LIU. Siena beat VMI this last week. LIU has been hot. Siena's been really good against the spread. This is when you'd expect their experience, all those returning players from a year ago, to really shine through. It's conference play time. It's put up or shut up time. We need to take it to the next level. This is when you need those returning players to lead your locker room. They're a 1.5 goal underdog here at trash value, but I would take them on the money line. I like Siena here. So give me the Saints. Bryant and UMass Lowell. Bryant's an 11.5 goal favorite. Lowell is winless. Bryant lost, as we said, to UMBC in overtime last week, which does not inspire confidence. But I cannot trust UMass Lowell, even if Bryant has let me down a little bit here. I'm going to take Bryant to cover and win by 12 goals. Lehigh and Bucknell. Lehigh's a 5.5 goal favorite. That's a big line. Lehigh lost to Army last week, but they played him within six. Bucknell has had a rough season. I do think, as I've said, they have some really good young pieces. I think their young midfielders are great. There's a foundation there to build on. But right now their wins are Dartmouth and Holy Cross. They got blown out by Colgate. 5.5 goals is a lot. Lehigh is at home. I will take Lehigh here against the Young Bison. But this, again, it's one of those Patriot League March Madness games where, you know, if you were to tell me I'm crazy for not taking Bucknell in the goals, I wouldn't blame you. But I'm going to take Lehigh here. Navy and Holy Cross. Navy lost to Villanova midweek after that huge win against Hopkins a week ago. So kind of a letdown game there for them. Holy Cross has lost four straight. Their wins are Sacred Heart and UMass Lowell. They've lost their last two by 9 and 10 goals to Army and Lafayette, respectively. I like Navy this year. I was high on them early. I'm not, as it were, giving up the ship. Give me Navy, even with the huge 8.5 goal line. I will take the mids to win the cover to get right after that midweek tough game. Hobart and the Q's. Syracuse coming off the big midweek win that we talked about against Duke. Hobart put up 20 on Lemoyne. They also have wins against Canisius and Bobby Moe. They played Albany to a 4-goal game. Hobart's midfield has been banged up this year, but I think they're getting better. This is a rivalry game. I know Hobart has been down in recent years. When you get the really old rivalries like this one, man, it's just one of those anything can happen things. I don't think Hobart winning the game is a thing that can happen when I say anything can happen. But let down for Q's. Hobart gets up for it. Q's is winning this game. But 10 goals is a lot of goals. I'm going to take Hobart to throw some punches, come out fired up. I'll take Hobart plus 10. I'm not scared. Give me the Statesman plus 10 goals against Q's. Richmond and Georgetown. This is the second of my three favorite games of the week. Richmond's a 1.5 goal underdog. It's a big one for the Spiders. You can read more about why at sticksandlacrosse.com. Utah and Detroit Mercy. Detroit Mercy held a late lead and took Robert Morris to OT in a midweek game, but man, just missed it. Came up short. So they stay winless. Utah has been living dangerously. They needed that massive comeback to beat Bellarmine. They lost midweek to Air Force. You know, Utah's a tough one to read right now, man. They're the AFON, full force it is. In the spirit of the AFON, I'm going to take Detroit Mercy here, plus the 9.5. Let's go Titans, staying with the Utes. the Sunday games, closing out what will be a great weekend slate here. Duke and Denver, the third of my three favorites for the week. This game has been great the last few years, even though it's basically all gone Duke's way. I think they've won the last six. The games have been really good. Duke's on quick turnaround. This is, again, one you can read more about at sticksinlacrosse.com. I've got a lot of info there about it. But that'll be a good one. That'll be must-watch stuff. Ohio State, Penn State. Penn State is a three-goal favorite on the road at the Buckeyes. These Big Ten games can be battles, man. Weird stuff happens. Upsets are brewed to perfection in March in conference play at this time. They really take the page right out of basketball's book. Ohio State has been able to lean on a solid defense. They have an emerging star in net and Fiak. Penn State is hot, though, man. Six straight wins at this point. The offense is cooking. It's a really good strength-on-strength kind of game. But I have trusted Ohio State way too many times at this point, and I won't do it again. Give me Penn State. Ohio State, you've hurt me too much. Nittany Lions, -3 on the road. Rutgers and the Hop. Hopkins is a three-goal favorite on the road at Tony Soprano's Piscataway Rutgers Scarlet Knights. The Jays have lost two straight. What a difference a couple weeks makes. I think we talked about this on Tuesday. You know, they were number two in the country. You lose to Navy, you lose to Cuse. Now here you are. You're outside the top 10. They lost those two games by a combined two goals. You know, it's not like they're getting beat up or anything, but Rutgers beat UMass last week. It's a decent win. It might even be their best win right now. They kind of need a good showing here in Big Ten play. Rutgers has been horrendous against the spread. Their only cover this year, however, has come when they were the underdog, and they are the underdog here. I'm going to take Rutgers +3 and count on some weird March stuff happening. So give me the Scarlet Knights +3 against Hopkins. Because I said I wanted to start doing it, I had mentioned it after the Mustang Classic, I'm going to give you a couple more to watch here. D2 game of the weekend. Save screen time for this one. Tampa and Rollins. Sunshine State showdown. That's a tough one to get out. Top five matchup. Both teams talented enough to be number one in the country. I think IL might have even had Rollins at number one for a bit. I don't think we ever put them that high at USA Lax Mag, but they're talented enough for sure. Tampa's definitely a contender. These teams have D1 talent, and that's not even a hypothetical. Kenyon Burch transferred to Tampa from Penn State. Grant Hansen, Mikey Berkman, they're at Rollins. They came from Maryland and Cuse, respectively. Matt Beto, Tampa defender, he could start for any team in America, regardless of division. He is one of the best defenders you'll see. It's going to be a hell of a game. Those Florida teams, man. Florida teams in D2 are awesome, so that'll be a good one. Also save some D2 screen time for Wingate and LRU. That'll be really good. And Newberry Limestone. Newberry is having a hell of a year. Limestone is currently the number one team, so that'll be good too. D3 game of the weekend. Again, there's a few good candidates here. For me, I think it's RIT and RPI is the best D3 game this weekend. Someone's getting their first loss of the year. RIT, to me, looks like the best challenger to Salisbury in the country. They were a machine at the Mustang Classic. I think Mike Grace is a pro. He's a tornado of a long stick. RPI's got wins over Williams, Middlebury, York. It has not been an easy ride to, I believe they're 8-0 right now. Might even be 9-0. Luke Murphy killing it for them. They have an excellent goalie in Joe Perry. That's a two-man enter, one-man leaves kind of game. CNU Lynchburg is another good one at D3. Andrew Cook, I've said before, I think he can be a pro. Andrew Cook is a really, really good midfielder. So that's one to watch there in the D3 world. So a D2 game to watch and a D3 game for you to watch too. Look, I'm trying to put as much lacrosse into your life as I can here. If you're an MCLA guy, I'm sorry. I'm not into that world. Not that I don't want to be. I just don't have enough hours in the day. Varsity Club Lacrosse, those guys kill it on social. They'll help you with the MCLA rankings and streams and all that. So go find them. But that's going to be it, man. That's a hell of a weekend right there. Conference play, NLL playoffs, bangers in D2 and D3 to check out. So good. I hope your bracket's doing okay. Lacrosse rules. Happy Positive Friday. Enjoy the weekend. Please don't be that guy who says things like, oh, I had that in my other bracket. Nobody likes that guy. Happy Positive Friday, and thank you for sticking around with me. See you next time.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In the California Road Trip Republic, we believe you take adventure for a ride. Whether coastal cruising, mountain motoring, or redwood roaming, discover beauty around every turn. Your road trip can kick off from anywhere.
Starting route.
But it should always start at visitcalifornia.com. Then buckle up, crank those tunes, and discover why California is the ultimate playground.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.